Morning. We're going to call the meeting to order of the Ag Environment Natural Resources Finance Committee for April 6th. The quorum is present. Representative Junkie, have you reviewed the minutes from April 5th?
Mr. Chair, I have, and other than questioning the Rukavina section, I think they're pretty much okay. I'd move approval at this time.
So you're not moving approval with a retroactive striking of the Rukavina?
No, Mr. Chair. I'll reserve my comments on the Rukavina section for later.
All right. Representative Junkie moves the minutes for approval on April 5th of the Ag Environment Natural Resources Committee. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion is carried. Okay. Before us this morning, we're going to have Representative Hackbarth with House File 1605. Representative Hackbarth. I think he's being summoned at this moment. So we'll have just a couple seconds here. Very good. Representative Hackbarth, we have before us now House File 1605. Do your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, I had to run.
No problem.
A little break.
Since you are dominating the agenda today, we have to wait.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. This is an issue that, Mr. Chairman, you know about and has to do with the snowmobile organization, MinUSA, Minnesota, United Snowmobilers of Minnesota. And talking about creating a new sticker that people that use the trails in Minnesota would have to purchase to help pay for our grant and aid system and the maintenance of our trails. And with me today, I have a representative of MinUSA, and he would like to speak to the bill.
Introduce yourself for the record, please, and go ahead with your testimony, Mr.
Franzen. Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Doug Franzen. I'm representing the Minnesota United Snowmobilers Association. This legislation, House File 1605, attempts to address an issue that this committee faces every biennium, is that the ups and downs of snowmobile trail funding, primarily due to weather conditions. When we have a lot of snow in the winter, we tend to receive a lot of money through registration fees and unrefunded gas tax. When we get an unpredictable and unfortunate brown weather, we have a scarcity of funds. The DNR is predicting a significant scarcity of funds moving into the future. And this is a thought of MinUSA as to how we can move forward to bring stability to our funding in an equitable manner, and also address the disposition of the proceeds. The other difficulty we've had is, frankly, some of the reimbursements to the snowmobile club have been significantly inadequate, and I believe the DNR would acknowledge that. The issue is just availability of funds, particularly for grooming and the ability to purchase groomers and to pay down debt for them. Has become increasingly difficult under the current regime. So what we do is fairly simple. We take the existing $15 trail sticker that's charged out of state residents and make it universal for all folks, resident or non-resident, who want to enjoy the state and local grant and aid trails, and we change the amount to $30. Now, we put that in perspective with some other sports and other endeavors. That's for an entire season of $30. If Representative Dill, if you choose to go downhill skiing in Spirit Mountain, for example, that might get you one day's worth of recreation. This is for an entire season. It also has the funding advantage of really focusing on actually the users, the people who actually use the trail. Every time we discuss funding and snowmobiling, we get the anecdote of the ice fisherman, the fellow or the man or the woman that goes from their cabin to the lake to the ice house, never uses a trail and should not pay registration fees. This ignores or at least solves that problem. I will say that the issue within the snowmobile community has been somewhat controversial. Not all members of MinUSA agree that there should be a $30 increase for a trail permit, but however, our board of directors has endorsed this, and at our last membership meeting we did have a very strong support. I'd like to talk to what we believe is the most important piece of the bill, and that's the disposition of the money. And I think it's important for the future of our trail system that I think as folks know here, the volunteers and the snowmobile clubs in partnership with local units of government really are the backbone of this system. It's highly leveraged and it's a highly efficient use of state dollars. And what we say in Section 2 is that the commissioner shall pay 90% of the maintenance costs rather than 65%. And we talk about trail grooming payments being at $80 per hour. Currently, they're approximately $48 an hour paid by the state to the snowmobile clubs. But the state pays itself for grooming state trails slightly over $70. When you transpose the difference between private accounting and public accounting, this proposal for $80 an hour seems modest. Finally, final provision is that in this legislation is Section 3, which creates a position in DNR, which we funded through this sector, to look at the future of snowmobiling the trails, the easements, the possibility of acquiring permanent easements, and there's also funding to do that for critical trail connections. I think, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, you recall the issue of the Hermantown connection, that there was a lot of hullabaloo about that and how that connection is such an integral part of the snowmobile experience for the folks around Duluth. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill, and I have nothing further to say unless you have questions.
Representative Akbar, do you have anything further to add at this point?
Not right now, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to take questions.
Okay, questions, members? Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a number of questions. First of all, maybe I missed it. How much money, additional monies, will be created by this?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, we're not exactly sure because it's dependent on how many people actually buy the sticker. But I think our initial assumptions are approximately $6 million on an annual basis.
And, Mr. Chair, my second question is, what's the penalty if I don't have one of these stickers and I'm on the state trail?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dunkey, I think we'd have to talk to DNR enforcement about that. It's probably...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dunkey, I don't have an answer right now. My assumption it would be the same penalty that would apply currently for an out-of-state resident who runs a snowmobile without a sticker. However, we could either ask DNR or I could get back to you in terms of the penalty.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to know the penalty, and then following up with that, I'd also like to know how easy is it to get a sticker. My cousin from Iowa shows up, wants to ride the sled on Sunday afternoon and doesn't realize we're going on the state trail in Candiota County. How do I get him a sticker?
Mr. Chairman, members, I think that's ultimately a question for DNR, but MinUSA has had significant discussions about that in terms of availability of the stickers and also the ability to get them electronically. And let me assure you, from our part at least, we're very committed to having them easily available, having them widely distributed. That was an issue that arose back in the old days when we had the stud sticker, that there was a law that said you had to have one, but in many cases people couldn't find them. After a while, I think DNR did get up to speed and did make those available, and we'd hope that these trail passes would be easily available, but I guess I would defer to the agency.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Dunkey, the the sticker would be available, like any fishing license, any agent that would have something like that would be able to produce it or be able to purchase that sticker at those locations.
So, Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth, it's just a book they have, like the old license book. It's not the electronic system. It's just a book of stickers wherever there's trails in the state.
Mr. Chair, Representative Junkie, I'm told from the DNR that it would be available through the ELS system, but whether they're going to have something they'll give out temporarily and then they'll send them the sticker or not, I don't know what that's going to be, but it is going to be available wherever you can buy a fishing license.
So, Mr. Chair, then if I can just get some info on the penalty side of it, I'll be
Deputy Commissioner, can you address that? Are you prepared? Can you address that question? The question is, what will be the penalty? Would that be the same failure to display? We have someone coming forward. Hi. State your name for the record, please. And,
good morning. My name is Pat Watts. I'm with the Department of Natural Resources Enforcement Division. And the violation would be a misdemeanor, whether it was failed to display or if it was failure to have the permit. Typically, the base fine for the failed to have the permit is about $50, and there's some surcharges and law library fees, and it would be about neighborhood of $120. Would be the typical fine. Failed to display, typically the base fine is about $20. You'd add the $65 on top of that. So you'd be between about $100 and $120 on the penalty. You could also, I'm just going to say we could also use a civil penalty, but we don't have a civil penalty provision for that. Otherwise, the mandatory minimum for a misdemeanor would be $300. But I see this as something that would go on a payable list where someone could just pay the fine and would not have to appear in court. That would make some sense.
So, Mr. Chair, she brought up another interesting point. If our sheriffs are policing this out on our trails, which they do in my area, they could make this they wouldn't have to pay. They could do the civil fine locally without doing the state fine. Is that right? Just like we do with, what's it called when they're doing our own speeding and parking tickets locally now? Administrative fine? Can they do administrative fine? So that we can keep that money in the county for the enforcement end of it. I'm concerned about that, too. If our sheriffs are out patrolling and enforcing, can we do administrative penalties on this like we do locally with speeding and parking tickets?
Watson?
Mr. Chairman, members, what if the local government adopts an ordinance that adopts the state laws, the entire fine would stay with the local court? On the other hand, if they write the ticket under the state statute, half of the base fine, we'll use the example that $50 they had before, half of the base fine goes to the fund, half of the base fine stays with the county, and all the surcharge stays with the court as well. So if we had that back to the example of the $50 base fine for a total of $120, only $25 of that whole fine comes to the snowmobile account. The rest stays with the local jurisdiction.
Representative Junkie, follow. Okay. Representative Johnson, did you have a question?
I do not. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. How about other members? Okay. Any further testimony? Representative Hackbarth, anything further you'd like to add?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's just that I think that we have to do something like this. The outstate clubs that are grooming these trails and buying these groomers is getting more and more expensive all the time, and I don't think the Twin Cities folks that are going up north and going outstate out to the country realize how much it's costing these outstate clubs out to groom these trails. And it's getting more and more expensive all the time, and we just can't afford to keep doing it. And these clubs are going to start going broke, and the trails are going to start going away. They're not going to be groomed. So I would just hope that the Twin Cities folks realize the amount of money that these clubs have to spend in order to keep the trails groomed. So I think it's something we have to do to keep our trails groomed in northern Minnesota.
Okay, thank you, Representative Hackbarth. I have a question, and I think we're good on this, but I just want to ask the question while we still have the bill in committee. On line 13, and you may not be able to answer this, but someone may. On line 13, it's 12 and 13, it says on a state or grant aid snowmobile trail. But on line 19 and 20, it says the Natural Resources Fund in the new language and must be used for grant and aid. Now, is that all that works for us, that the way that's written?
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Franzen has an answer for us.
All right.
Mr. Franzen? Mr. Chairman, if you ride on a state or a grant and aid trail, you need the sticker. However, the disposition of the sticker money that goes specifically to grant and aid system, it does not go in for state trail development and maintenance. And we have discussed that with the DNR.
Okay, so that language is where we want to be, and it's all consistent.
Mr. Chairman, we like it.
Thank you. Okay. All right, any further questions on House File 1605? Okay, Representative Hagbarth, actually, would you move the bill, please, and then we'll go ahead. We didn't actually move the bill, I don't believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move House File 1605, be recommended pass, and held over for possible inclusion in the Environment, Ag Environment and Natural Resources Finance Bill.
All right, we have a motion for 1605 to be possibly included in the Omnibus Finance Bill of the Ag and Natural Resources and Environment Finance Committee. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. Okay. We have also Representative Hackbarth on an additional bill, House File 1909. And the motion will be, would you like to move the bill? And I believe we want to, for possible conclusion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move House File 1909, be recommended to pass, and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
All right. That is the motion. And we'll go to your bill, House File 1909.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This is the notorious fraction bill, if you will, the dedicated funding bill. It's been called the 3/16, the 1/8, the 1/4 bill. The bill we have before us today is a 1/4 bill. As everyone knows, I have been in favor of the 1/8 bill that would dedicate 1/8 of 1% of the sales tax to game and fish funding. And this has been around for a number of years. It originated with over in the Senate with Senator Lessard, and we've been trying to move this bill forward for quite some time. I think we're gaining some momentum. I think we can get it done this year. It's a constitutional amendment, and as I said, this is a 1/4 bill. It's 1/8 for game and fish, dedicated to game and fish habitat and acquisition of easements for people to hunt and fish on. And that's a pretty simple explanation of that. And the other half of the bill is for our clean waters funding. We have the Representative Osmond has the clean water bill, and in that bill it has a $36 fee for anyone that has a connection to a sewer system, or if they have a septic system, that's a $36 charge on their property taxes. It's receiving a lot of opposition, and I would think members would appreciate this bill because this takes care of the funding for that, and it eliminates that need for that $36 fee. So that pretty much sums up the bill, members. I would stand for questions. We have people in the audience that would testify if you have any questions for them.
Okay. Representative Junkie.
How much?
What's the cost?
No, yeah, what's it bring in?
About $170 million a
year. Total or?
Total.
Okay, so
half and half.
So $85 million.
Right.
All right.
Representative Wagenius.
Representative Hackbarth, I think this is a popular enough concept that we could do it as new money.
I'm sorry, Representative Wagenius.
Representative Wagenius.
I'm sorry.
Okay. A lot of people talk about this. They want a constitutional fund. I have my doubts about whether constitutional funds protect stuff. I mean, look at what happens to the lottery money. But the biggest challenge here is this is taking money out of the general fund where you're going to have some of the people fighting that pretty hard in public. Have you thought about doing this as new money?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, I think you're talking about raising the sales tax a quarter of a percent.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bill that was around last session. Came over from the Senate. That was never my position. I have never considered myself increasing the sales tax a quarter of a percent to take care of that. I think our economy is getting better. I think we've seen that by our budget forecast that we've seen, they haven't been as far in deficit as we thought they were going to be. We're picking up. We're getting better all the time. I think by the time this bill would become effective in 07, I think we're not going to be needing to take any cuts anywhere. I think we're going to be able to take it from the increases in revenue that we're going to be receiving to the state of Minnesota.
Representative Guinness?
You know, Representative Hackworth, I pray you're right, but our budget forecasts are based upon a price of oil dropping substantially below where it is right now. And as people have said, oh no, our economy is going to get better because the price of oil is going to be way down. That's not what's happening. And so I think one of the presumptions built into our budgeting is fast becoming way out of whack, or very wrong. So it's going to put our budget way out of whack. So that's my concern here. I think we need new money.
Other questions? Representative Pennis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And for Representative Hackworth, when I'm looking on page 2 at what the language would be on the ballot, I'm just questioning whether the voter, when he reads, or he or she reads this, would understand that it is from the existing sales tax or an additional sales tax, or maybe I'm missing something. So,
Representative Hackbar?
Mr. Chair and Representative Pennis, I see your point, and we can make sure that language is in there. I'm not sure if on the ballot it would say this is going to raise your taxes or not. I thought there was something on the ballot normally about that, but I would like to address that, and maybe we can make that fit, and maybe we can talk about that in taxes when it gets there.
Other questions? Representative Erdahl.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hackbarth, I just want to make sure that I understand how much this is costing. I thought I heard, is it $85 million a year, or is it, I'm reading, $170 million annually. Which is it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Erdahl, it's $170 million a year total for the one quarter. It's approximately $88 million per eighth.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Questions?
We still on the motion for taxes?
Okay, if you'd like to renew your motion, or do you have further testimony or someone to testify for or against?
One person that would like to testify in favor of the bill.
All right, come forward, please.
And I think we have someone in opposition also, Mr.
All right. State your name, please, and go ahead with your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is John Schroers. I'm the president of the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance. And as you know, this bill has been around for quite some time. When Senators Lassard and then Representative Olson brought the bill at least 6 years ago, I think, MOHA was one of the very first organizations to throw its support behind this. We still support it. We think it's vital. And we ask for your support. And I'm available for questions. Other than that, again, we think this is a very important issue, and we want to get it to the ballot.
Okay. Any questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chores, the question is, has to do with the hole it's going to create in the state budget. Now, Representative Wagini has brought up the issue of new money. What do you think of, would you also be supportive of new money being brought in rather than taking a chunk out of a very tight budget that's has all kinds of pressures from all sorts of areas of the state?
Yes, there are. We realize the folks that are bringing this, there are other needs. I think at present the Mohawk's position is, as the bill states, out of current. We just support the bill. And there are other folks that are wiser than I that could probably argue that point better than I, but the Mohawk position is, as the bill is currently written.
Okay. Further questions? Follow-up, Representative Johnson?
No, Chair.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Madam, Mr. Chair.
State your name for the record, please, and go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members, Dan Larson, today representing the Minnesota Rural Counties Caucus, here to testify, just to raise concerns about the bill. Some of the items that I'll be talking about have been raised already. But first of all, I want to recognize give a nod to the leadership that Representative Hackbarth has demonstrated for rural counties of the state. So we have some concerns with this bill, and primarily with the funding. Also, Senator Lessard is a mentor of mine, so this is an issue that I'm very familiar with. We do have one concern, at least. We also want to recognize that the need exists for wildlife enhancement and water resource protection. This is largely a rural development and tourism issue for rural areas of the state. But coming off several years of painful budget cuts, which rural areas took their fair share of, we must raise concerns over the impact the two existing or pipeline programs resulting from the shift in sales tax revenues. We need to point out to the committee and continue to reiterate that the rural populations are largely older, less affluent, and more dependent on programs that have been impacted in recent years. So with that, we would raise concerns about the hole that the funding or the shift in the sales tax revenue would generate, and primarily to ask what programs those shifted revenues would be impacting.
Okay, questions for Mr. Larson? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Ms. Ness, you'd like to testify? State your name for the record, please, and go ahead. Who you represent?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lance Ness, President of the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Alliance, and also one of the organizers of the rally that occurred on Saturday. Some 5,000-plus people showed up at the Capitol. One of the main issues was dedicated funding. You have the bill before you today. I want to also thank Representative Hackbarth for the many years he's helped to carry this bill forward. And I would like to address the issue of the hole in the budget. I run a business. In my business, I have to reinvest every so often. I have to buy new equipment, have to buy new tools, have to get new employees to make my business better. If we don't reinvest in our natural resources, they are going to decline. They are already on a decline. They are already being degraded. This is a reinvestment bill. We will fill the hole with tax dollars generated by this bill. For example, I was pheasant hunting in Slayton, Minnesota last year. Four of us occupied the hotel. I just happened to keep track of what we spent in the three-day weekend. We averaged about $200 for the four guys hunting. The hotel was full, Mr. Chairman. That's the idea. We want to fill the hotels. We want to fill the resorts. We want to fill the local communities. That money goes to the community four times as it passes through that community. It goes from the hotel owner and the restaurant and the gas station and the local stores over four more times. It gets taxed each time as it goes through. This will generate more and more and more money. But it won't generate money if we don't reinvest in our natural resources. This is an economic engine. You have to look at it that way. We're sending 29,000 hunters to North Dakota every year. They should be staying here. We should bring in 29,000 hunters from North Dakota to Minnesota. That's what we should be doing. So I'll keep my comments short today, Mr. Chairman. But again, you're about to get a whole bunch of postcards in your mailboxes real soon. from a whole bunch of people that were there on Saturday. And they're one of the main things they're going to say is, would you please support dedicated funding? I would echo that vote today. Please support dedicated funding.
Okay, questions for Mr. Ness? There, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Ness, I'm representing one of those districts that the hotel fills up and then it's empty. I've heard this several times that it'll bring more money, and it does. You can see it when the parking lot's full and everybody's there hunting. Is there anybody who's going to analyze that and has actual numbers as to how much will be created? Because I don't doubt you, but if it could be quantified, that would just make your pitch that much better.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Peterson, the only quantification we have is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service does a every report every 10 years or so showing the economic impacts of hunting and fishing. We don't have it localized down lower than that, but that is a good suggestion, okay. And I will look into it and see if I can find you some more information.
Thank you. Yep, follow up. I've seen the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's info.
Okay, further questions for Mr. Ness? Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ness, I'm going to support this, but I can't do it without saying that we face many reinvestment challenges in this state today. The argument that you're making for the wildlife can be made for education, it can be made for the economy, it can be made for roads. There are a lot of things that we need to reinvigorate our reinvestment in.
Okay, any further questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Ness. Testify for against the bill, come forward and state your name, who you represent, and go ahead with your testimony.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Dave Jansen, and basically I represent me, myself, and I. I'm here as a private citizen. On this bill, I echo the concern that Representative Erdahl just brought up regarding the reinvestment. I'm in favor of reinvesting, but shouldn't we set our priorities to reinvesting for our educational system, for our transit system, and other types of areas that have much more to do with the entire state here in the Twin Cities? And I'm not saying I'm not in favor of the reinvestment of this bill. But I think there's some priorities that need to be really reinvestigated here. So with that, I will take any questions from committee members.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. Anyone else in the audience like to testify for or against the bill? All right. Representative Hackbarth, anything else you'd like to add? Representative Junkie.
Just to the bill, Mr. Chair. Representative Hackbarth, page 3 and 4 lay out the, I know this isn't the policy committee, and if this goes forward, I'll see it again in rules, but I need to ask, you lay out the makeup of the this Clean Water Council, and I see you have watershed districts, counties, cities, and townships, all elected bodies in this state. How come we don't have any legislative members of it to help oversee this? Because all they're doing is making a they're submitting a report on how they're spending the money. We don't necessarily have oversight of that money. Wouldn't it be helpful to have a member of both bodies at least sitting on that council?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, I don't necessarily disagree with you. This language was taken from the Clean Water Legacy Bill. It came over to me from Senator Saxhawk from the Senate, and I put it together in this bill. I don't necessarily disagree with you on that, but this is the language that's been consistent with the council in the Clean Water Legacy Bill. I believe that's the way Representative Osment wants it, and we can change it later if the author of the legacy bill wants to do that.
And Mr. Chair, the reason I ask is, and we can talk further, is I think it's helpful to have a member at least of the finance body, or finance committees in both bodies on it, so that we're not duplicating, or, you know, that we have at least some idea of what the budgets here are for DNR and PCA, and, not that this council wouldn't have good staff from both those agencies advocating, but I think you understand what I mean, that I don't want this money going to backfill holes and agencies and other things, and that's my big concern. And so I would love to see some legislative membership on that. Otherwise, you know, members, I'm going to support this bill too, but obviously the discussions as we go forward are very clear. Number one, there'll be the whole discussion on dedicated funds and how useful they are. At 9:30 today, I think most of you know there's a lot of heavy equipment sitting out front of the Capitol today advocating for more transportation money. Yet we have a dedicated fund for transportation, and it's not working. We're short of money. And having sat on the Transportation Committee for many years, by having a dedicated fund, we tend to get left out of any general fund appropriation saying, well, you're taken care of in the dedicated fund. So I think that's one of the discussions going forward that will be there. And I do think it's a good discussion to have Representative Hackbarth, regardless of what side people are on, whether we will be talking about existing or additional money, because I do believe this is a I think the citizens of the state, just like putting the gas tax out that's been talked about for their vote, supposing that they will raise the funding for roads on their own, I believe that the citizens of the state would vote for an additional quarter cent and not put any general fund monies in jeopardy. But that said, I think it's a good argument to use the $85 million for the water legacy, because technically now that will be coming out of the sales tax proceeds, which is where I think it should come from anyway, is general fund monies, basically. So I think that was a good addition to this bill as it moves along and will help it move forward.
Okay, Representative McGinnis.
Thank you. Representative Hackbarth, I still sit here and puzzle about the new money thing, but I do want to tell you that the language that you have written this year is the best I've seen, and I appreciate the way the language is written, that it is not exclusionary, but it is inclusionary, and it does recognize that we have to restore the lakes and the rivers and the streams and the wetlands in order for there to be the habitat for the fishermen and the hunters. I mean, so I appreciate the breadth of your amendment this time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any other questions from the members? Anyone else like to testify for or against the bill? There being none, the motion reoccurs on House File 1909 to refer to the Committee on Taxes. All in favor of that motion? Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is carried. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Representative Angler.
We have a little switching of the gavel here. We're going to move to House File 610, Representative Dill's bill. I'll take over while we pass this bill, or hear this bill, I should say.
Pass it?
That's why I said hear. Representative Dill, if you want to move your bill.
Yes, I'd move that this House File 610 be in possible inclusion in the Omnibus Finance Bill for the Agriculture, Environment, and Natural Resources Finance Bill. Members, House File 610 has been before this committee before policy, last year. It was included in the omnibus bill that failed last year. The history of this bill is that back in the 90s, the statutes were amended to allow the grooming of snowmobile trails on ice in Voyageurs National Park. Over this period of time, 6-7 years, there's been a public safety has been well guarded by the use of a federal standard for ice safety that the federal government had developed years prior to the advent of grooming on ice up in Voyageurs Park. and we've had great success in providing good opportunities to enjoy Minnesota's only national park by having grant and aid groomed snowmobile trails on the ice. Members, this bill adds specific lakes that would connect on both the northwest end of Voyageurs National Park up to the Canadian border on Lake of the Woods, and from the southeast end of Voyageurs National Park down to essentially the city of Ely. So it extends dramatically the on-ice grooming of trails, and again, public safety will be protected via use of the standards that have been developed to conduct ice safety checks and to certify that the ice is in fact adequate for this use. It's a low-cost alternative to on-land snowmobile trails in the sense that when the ice thaws, the trails go away. And when it refreezes and it meets this criteria, it can be remarked and then groomed when the ice is thick enough. And so we have a lot less maintenance dollars that are going out to maintain this type of a trail. It expands the trail network dramatically without having on-land impacts that we have on on-land trails. And it dramatically increases visitor enjoyment because it gives them an alternative from riding through the boreal forest to riding down large lakes and observing the forest from the lakes. So it's kind of a from the other side of the looking glass type of thing by using the lakes. So with that, members, that is the bill, and I stand for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Dill. Do you have any testifiers, more or against?
All I can say, unless the DNR wants to testify, the DNR is in concurrence on this bill.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, members, any questions? Seeing none, we'll proceed to vote. Representative Dill renews his motion. We don't have to vote. We're just going to lay this
laying it over for inclusion.
Then we'll lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill. Thank you, Representative Dill.
Thank you, sir. Okay, now we have Representative Hackbarth, House File 1547. Representative Hackbarth, I'd like to make a motion on this, and it looks like we're doing a possible inclusion as well in the omnibus finance bill.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. I would move House File 1547 to bring it before us and hold it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill.
Okay, Representative Hackbarth moves House File 1547 for possible inclusion to the bill.
Members, this is the ATV bill that's been moving through the legislature. I was hoping that Mr. Ray Bowen from the All-Terrain Vehicle Association of Minnesota would be here. There's a number of provisions in the bill. People are claiming that this bill is going to destroy our state forests and our wetlands. This is going to protect our state forests and our wetlands. Members, we create a conservation, what do I want to call it, an ambassador program that puts volunteers from ATV clubs out on the trails to watch and make sure that our ATV folks are staying on the trails, not out in the wetlands, obeying all the laws. This is a program that we discovered over in Wisconsin. It's working very, very well. And the Wisconsin DNR really likes this program. It's keeping people on the trails over in Wisconsin. And we would have radios or telephones or something that these volunteers would have, and they'd be able to call a conservation officer or call a sheriff's deputy or somebody to come out if there are some severe problems out on the trails. So that's one of the very, very important factors of this bill, is we need to get that done. And also, members, another very important part of the bill is the gas tax study. The gas tax study on the amount of gas that ATVs use has not been done in many, many years. But I think it was back in the 80s sometime, 1988, I believe, that the last gas tax study was done on this. And we would like to pay for a gas tax study coming out of the dedicated funds to do the study to see how much gas tax should be coming into the ATV accounts. Members, I would stand for questions. There's a number of other provisions in the bill. Mr. Chair, Mr. Bowen is here with the All-Terrain Vehicle Association of Minnesota. He might have some comments on the bill.
Mr. Bowen, identify yourself for the record, who you represent.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ray Bowen. I'm with the All-Terrain Vehicle Association of Minnesota, and I guess I really don't have anything to add unless there's specific questions.
Questions for Mr. Bowen?
Mr. Chairman, we do have some... we had some amendments prepared, Mr. Chairman, and for some reason they're not here. We're holding the bill over for possible inclusion. When we go to roll the bill in, if it would be okay if we'd offer those amendments at that time, maybe.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Bowen? Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for Mr. Bowen or Representative Hackbarth to the bill. I'm trying to figure out the enforcement component to the bill. For example, the independent study for offenders, violators of the off-highway vehicle laws and so forth. A person takes an independent study. They take the test home with them. Who scores the test? How do you know the violator took the test? I don't quite understand how this works. And how do you see that as being a sufficient consequence for changing behavior?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, I think there's two different levels in the bill. One is for if you receive any kind of offense, like, for example, if you're out in the woods and you're not registered, or if you're out in the woods and you get a violation for excess speed, and for that first violation, what you have to do is take it's a CD-ROM that was developed for basically our youth, but we use it for everyone. It's an interactive CD, and I'm going to have Patty Watts from the Department from Enforcement explain that. But the other level for the multiple violations of training is they would have to take that CD-ROM course initially. Then after taking the CD-ROM course, then they would have to take basically a classroom training session and a hands-on training session in combination. And that's about a four to six-hour class. So there's two different levels. Single violators would only do the CD-ROM, interactive CD-ROM training. If you get more than one violation, then you would have to do both the CD-ROM training and the classroom and hands-on training. I'd like Patty Watts can explain it perhaps a little better.
Ms. Watts?
Mr. Chairman, members, the CD-ROM is set up to where the program does the scoring, and actually you can't move on to the next step until you've come up with the correct answer and have identified the correct answer. So that's how that process works. And as you work your way through the CD, you have to keep getting the correct answers. And when you completed it, it has you print out a document for each section that has been forwarded into the department for basically it scores for you, and then we would acknowledge that the training plan completed.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, just a comment. You know, I have been working in probation corrections for a long time, many years, and see a lot of driving offenses and so forth. The issue isn't one of education for these characters that are screwing up, at least the ones that I see, and I suspect this might be true out in the woods, too. It's not knowing what to do. It's a question of attitude and choosing to do what you're not supposed to do. And it's consequences that are effective, and knowing that there will be consequences. It's not a question of going home and looking at a series of information and deciding, oh, I think I'll do things differently. You got to have some significant consequences in order to alter behavior. This is just common sense.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, the training comes after, of course, if there's a violation and a conviction. It's either a misdemeanor penalty, which can be up to $750 fine, is my understanding, or it's a civil fine. And depending upon the type of violation it is, in our bill, if it's a wetland violation, the first violation is $100, and that's, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt. But the second and third violation would be $500 and $1,000. And $500 and $1,000, I don't know about anybody else, but that would get my attention. So there are, plus restoration. And restoration, actually, in a wetland, when it comes to wetlands, is actually probably more costly than the fine. Because that's, you're talking probably talking several thousands of dollars minimum for restoring wetlands. So there are you know, there are penalties, as well as before you get to the training stage. Then on top of that, their privilege to ride is revoked until they actually take that training. So there are, you know, to me, there are significant penalties there.
Johnson?
I think, Mr. Chair, I'll address questions later.
Any other questions for Mr. Bone? Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to testify?
Okay, others would like to testify for or against the bill?
No.
Tuma, identify yourself for the record who you represent. Go ahead with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. My name is John Tuma. I represent the Minnesota Environmental Partnership, or MEP. MEP is a coalition of 90 conservation and environment organizations in the state of Minnesota. You're familiar with some of our members, all the way from Ducks Unlimited, Isaac Walton League, Nature Conservancy, Clean Water Action, and Trouts Unlimited. This year, 47 of our member organizations signed what is known as MEP's Protect Our Waters legislative agenda. Part of that agenda is protecting our water from reckless off-road highway vehicle use. Protect Our Waters is a practical set of solutions and smart investments for the state of Minnesota. Responsible off-road riding is not what we're after. We are not against ATVs, and we're not anti-ATV. We're not opposed to the recreation. We understand that there needs to be a good balance between those who abuse that privilege and destroy our wetlands and destroy our natural resources. Responsible off-road riding is one of those issues that has touched a nerve in the environment community. As you know, wetlands play a critical role in protecting our lakes and rivers and streams and critical habitat. Wetlands are the filters that store and recharge our groundwater. Wetlands are important to our lakes and streams. They are essentially the sponge that cleans up the mess that is created upstream. And if we do not protect our wetlands, we'll see increased pollution due to pesticides, phosphorus, and fertilizer runoff. Unfortunately, half of Minnesota's original wetlands are now gone, so it is critical that we protect those that exist today. Based on statewide polling, I can assure you that Minnesotans support holding reckless off-road vehicle riders accountable for the damage they cause on public and private land. 85% of those polled recently by MEP in a poll last August support increased fines for all trained vehicle violators who destroy fragile natural resources. 70% of those polled support making violations committed on all trained vehicles part of your driving record, or even to confiscate the vehicle. And in regards to our private lands, 65% opposed to using all-terrain vehicles or off-highway vehicles to drive in privately owned environmentally sensitive areas such as wetlands and water areas. We buy into the concept that has been presented that there needs to be education, enforcement, and trails. Unfortunately, the legislation that's before you, we think, is weak on enforcement. The increased fines are narrowly placed, and I don't think cover the extent of those fines that should be escalated quickly for enforcement. Presently, the program that is known as the Ambassador Program is done in place of a already existing DNR program that probably should be funded as opposed to giving money to organizations, according to the legislative auditor, do not have sufficient controls to ensure that the money is going to the intended purposes. We know that we have an agency that can enforce these rules, can provide an ambassador setting on our trails, and they're the ones that should be funded. Also, opening up 74%
of our state forests to essentially unmanaged and riding is not what you call strong enforcement. Going back on the compromise that was worked out with the governor, this legislature, environmentalists, and ATV riding groups, and opening up those 74% of those lands is not a step forward in enforcement. It is a serious step backwards. And so for that reason, members, we oppose this House file, and we hope that there would be some serious considerations about implementing some of the reasonable recommendations that we put forward. Things like decibel limits, so that other people who are enjoying the outdoors can enjoy it with some peace and quiet. Outlawing snorkels, those are things that allow these vehicles to be driven down essentially underwater. They shouldn't even be in the water, much less under the water. These are reasonable efforts. Increasing the fines for a broader range of those, as Representative Johnson pointed out, to start changing the attitude about how important our wetlands and our other resources are and for the damage. And so, members, I would encourage you to give a solid message that this legislation needs to be cleaned up and made more enforceable as opposed to just heavy on the education area. With that, I will pass the mic on to Dean Larimer.
Questions for Mr. Kuma? Thank you. Morning. Identify yourself for the record and who you represent. Go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Gene Larimer, and I'm part of the Jack Pine Coalition. Mr. Chair, I'd like your permission to pass a single-page document around from which I'll be talking this morning.
Okay. Page, Arlen, we'd like to get a hold of that. Go ahead with your testimony.
Fine. This document is a press release from Governor Pawlenty, dated May 12, 2003. This was the solution to the OHV ATV issue that year, and the one to which Mr. Tuma made reference to. Governor Pawlenty called this a reasonable, responsible approach. It's designed for managed use on managed trails. That became something of a mantra for a while in the DNR. I haven't heard that from DNR staff or officials recently, but a year or so ago, that was the that was a very common phrase. Governor Pawlenty went on to say that our goal, the administration's goal, is to provide recreational opportunities for ATV users on a managed trail system. And went on to say, the plan gives the DNR the tools necessary to have immediate positive impact and an effective long-term plan for ATV use. It appears that long-term plan was about 2 years. Here's what the deal was. ATVs would be allowed only on designated trails in state forests. That is, there had to be a sign up that said ATVs can ride here, or motorcycles can ride there, or the 4x4 trucks can ride here. Sometimes those trails were shared. That was what, in a sense, the ATV side gave up. What my side gave up was environmental review. The idea was to get trails on the ground in a hurry. And we gave up the EAW EIS business in order to facilitate getting designated trails on the ground. The forest, the DNR was mission was to, on a forest by forest basis, go through and reclassify all state forests to either limited or closed. It's important to remember that's a forest-by-forest basis. I have heard here this session this vague slogan, which really is pretty empty of any empirical content, of one size doesn't fit all. Well, that simply doesn't fit what has happened within the DNR. The DNR has assigned teams made up of local DNR officials These are not people sitting in cubes at on the fourth floor of Lafayette Avenue. These are people who live in the communities. They go to churches there. Their kids go to schools there. They know the forest, and they go about their job. It reflects what is happening in that forest and what is happening in their communities. Commissioner Merriam at that time said, the governor's approach is a common sense solution to a complex situation. Now, why is it we have here, 2 years later, the very serious proposal, the real threat to state forests, to do away with this plan, and to return or to allow northern 74% of our state forests to remain in the so-called managed category? You may recall, those of you on environment policy, Deputy Commissioner Holston testified when asked about this. He made the comment that managed forests are really unmanaged forests. That is certainly true. They are not managed. Where are we then with managed use on managed trails? It becomes impossible. If an ATV rider can go on any trail, any game trail or whatever, there is no way that such a dispersed system could be managed. You can't manage the user in the sense that you can't enforce all these various places, and you can't manage the trails. How are you going to do repair? How are you going to do monitoring? This is a serious threat to Minnesota State Forest, and it escapes me how this has advanced this far without any analytical discussion of why it's necessary. And I stand for questions.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Merriam?
Larimore,
sorry. There being none. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to testify for or against the bill? Morning.
Morning.
State your name, who you represent.
Thank you.
Go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. For the record, my name is Brian Pasco. I am an attorney in Minneapolis and the Sierra Club's contract lobbyist here in Minnesota. And, you know, I think most of you know that I am a very brand new lobbyist, and this is actually my first opportunity to testify before this committee. And I just want to acknowledge that I've had the chance to meet with all of you over the past few months, and you all have just been incredibly gracious to me. And I think it's appropriate and important for me to convey how very much I appreciate that and your time and your patience, and just wanted to say thank you very much. Unfortunately, I am here to testify in opposition to House File 1547 as it is previously written. And I think that over the past few weeks, you've heard a litany of concerns, and out of respect for the committee's time, I just want to focus on one in particular this morning, and that is the provision that opens the North Shore State Trail to off-highway vehicles. And I think that most of you know that the North Shore State Trail is a snowmobile trail in the winter, and in the summer it is used avidly by hikers and hunters and birders and other outdoor recreationists. And I know some of the opponents or the proponents of this bill have suggested that it is not used frequently, and that's just not the case. The trail crosses throughout the corridor. It has 100 trout stream crossings. And in the provision that would open the particular section of the trail, I believe that there are 26 of them. Mm-hmm. And even though this trail has been closed to ATV use, ATV use abuse on this trail is already very apparent. I have some members who are involved in a group called the Sustainable Recreation Coalition, which is a group of about 40 individuals up on the North Shore and in the Arrowhead region, and they are hunters and hikers and anglers and bicyclers and snowmobilers and business owners in the North Shore area that have pulled together in order to protect the North Shore environment and their local economy. And they believe very strongly that areas of quiet and solitude and wilderness-like experiences are the things that set that region apart and give them a competitive advantage in terms of tourist dollars in other areas of the states, of Minnesota. And as a result, they have taken a particular interest in the North Shore Trail. And last summer, they did a compliance survey of this trail in Cook County. And they found that approximately 70% of the gates closing this trail had evidence of ATV abuse. They found that 10% of the signs closing this trail to motorized use had been taken down. They have photos of areas where there are bridges, and instead of the ATVers going over this bridge, they would literally just drive through the trout streams. And so even though that this trail is currently closed to ATV use, the damage is already there, and our inability to enforce irresponsible riding is very apparent. And last year, the DNR made a decision not to open this trail or not to explore opening this trail to ATV use. And they did that because they lacked the resources, and they made a decision to switch their resources and put their resources into managing ATV trails and other forests, into putting other trails on the ground in other forests, and in addressing some of the other enforcement concerns. And I want to really stress this point to members. The DNR has the authority right now to designate the North Shore State Trail, but they've made a decision not to do that because they do not have the resources. And here we are proposing to open this trail and force the agency to open this trail to ATV use when they don't have the appropriate management resources and they don't have the enforcement resources to manage this trail at this particular time. And so what I'm afraid is going to happen if we open this trail to ATV use is that we're going to see more detrimental effects on the trout streams in that corridor. We're going to see a detriment to the economy in the Arrowhead region. We're going to see increased damage to an existing trail. And I think it's worth pointing out that one of the few applications that has been made to the DNR damage account is from a snowmobile association where ATV use has and the rutting and erosion has caused damage to the snowmobiles' trails. So, just in conclusion, I think there may be some day in the future when it is appropriate to open the North Shore State Trail to ATV use. But any decision to open that trail to ATV use needs to be done on an informed basis. And it needs to be done after appropriate public comment. It needs to be done after appropriate environmental analysis. So with that, members, I would just strongly urge you to pull this provision from the bill. Again, there may be an appropriate time to do this in the future, but now is just not the time. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for members or Mr. Pascoe? All right, thank you very much. Anyone else for or against the bill?
Mr. Chairman, could I have a moment, please?
Yes,
we have a number of people to speak for the bill. There's a number of people coming up against the bill, but we have to take up some amendments here before we run out of time, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pascoe.
Just a comment.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Kevin Preschel. I represent the Isaac Walton League of America. The League is a national conservation group composed primarily of hunters and anglers and others who enjoy the outdoors. Our league has about 50,000 members nationally, and we have about 20 chapters throughout Minnesota. I come today to register our opposition to House File 1547, and I would like to just highlight, in the interest of time, just one of the provisions found in Section 19 of this bill. This is the so-called North of Highway 2 provision that would change the status of the state forest lands north of Highway 2 from the current law that was passed in 2003 to allow essentially ATV and off-highway vehicle travel throughout those state forests unless specifically posted closed. This is a reversal of existing state law and in the opinion of the League, a bad step backwards. We urge the committee to look carefully at this, and again, I want to thank you for the chance to register our opposition to this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions, members? Thank you very much. Mr. Curry.
Thank you, Chairman Dill, members of the committee. My name is John Curry. I'm Legislative Director with Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. I want to take a step back and look big picture at a couple of things and then get down to the minutia. First of all, the last couple of days' hearings, I want to acknowledge that there have been some things that have personally frustrated me. We've had motives questions. We've had legislators talking about what the opposition may be up to and why. And I want to assure this committee that MCEA is committed to wildlife, natural resources, and public health. We are not an anti-access group. We are not here because we oppose ATVs. We are here because we love and we have reverence for our natural resources. And that's the agenda we want to bring to you. I also at this time want to re-extend an invitation to the members that support this legislation, including the author, Representative Hackbarth, to meet with you and go personally over some of the concerns one by one that we have in an effort so that we can maybe ratchet down the hyperbole and craft good legislation with one another. MCEA and its commitment to natural resources, I want to assure the members of the committee of a number of steps that we've taken to demonstrate this. We support trails in state forests. That's not an easy position for folks to come to, but looking at this issue, looking at some 200 to 300,000 ATVs that we're now dealing with in Minnesota, a trails policy is a step in the right direction. We support Gilbert-like facilities where the off-road trucks go, and we encourage more of those to be used through the use of the DNR dedicated accounts. We supported the Pawlenty Plan of 2003, managed use on managed trails. Much has been said about that already. We supported the Wetlands Compromise of 2004, something that was dealt with on the floor of the House, and we believe in a responsible way. We've even agreed recently in testimony with ARMCA, the off-road motorcycle group, about the way in which trail classification is being done by the DNR. We think some more effort needs to be done towards making a system of trails rather than a patchwork of that which exists already. Members, I had passed out this handout in which the compromise is detailed through the lens of the media. We've already talked about what the governor intends to do, and we support that on managed use of managed trails. This bill moves backward in that direction. I also want to point out on the second page, the Outdoor News article, the bottom of the third paragraph, a representative from ATVAM is quoted as saying, "This is what a real compromise is all about." We agree with that statement. We don't think we need to go backwards in state law, which this bill does for three-quarters of our state forests. There's an organization called Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and if I can quote from their position, this is semantic to where NCEA is at on this issue. This is Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. "All Americans have a right to enjoy our public lands and waters, but no small minority has a right to damage these public treasures or ruin the experience of others enjoying the great outdoors. We agree with Forest Service Chief Dale Bosworth when he says unmanaged motorized recreation is one of the great threats to our national forests. Hunters and anglers are acutely aware of how the abuse of our off-road vehicles scars the land, pollutes water, spreads weeds, frightens wildlife, and destroys solitude. Many of us can tell stories of stalks ruined, peace and quiet shattered, and pack strings spooked by illegal off-road vehicles. All wildlife needs security provided by habitat. Excessive motorized access destroys habitat security, degrading opportunities, and the experience of the majority of hunters and anglers. We support reasonable rules and swift enforcement that stop motorized abuse of public lands." We came to the legislature with an enforcement bill this year. In 2003, we dealt with the managed use on managed trails. In 2004, wetlands. In 2005, the missing tool is enforcement. The DNR needs a set of tools to get the bad apples and let the other riders enjoy their recreation experience. They need new penalties and ultimately seizures of the vehicle if folks are using the vehicle to damage public lands. We hope that some of those issues can get addressed. They're not being addressed right now. And for the record, and for the sake of concluding, the sections that need to be cleaned up a little bit in the bill from our standpoint is Section 1, Section 4, Section 12, Section 13 and 14, Section 15, Section 17, Section 19, and I would again re-extend an offer to work with any who support this bill to hammer out some of the problems that we have going forward. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Curry. Any questions for Mr. Curry? Representative Pennis.
I would just like to make a comment. I question, as you know, everyone knows how I stand on this, but I question organization and people who aren't up front when a request is made to a chair to get a hold of the bill and then hold it until deadlines are over because someone is not in favor of it or a group is not in favor of it. I really question that. And then just to clear things up, in statements that have been made on tape, as to the Beltrami Island Forest being 91 to 92, I don't recall which, but I haven't listened to the tape, 91 to 92% wetlands. I checked with the three of the counties in which it is located, and we all know the wetlands are dependent on soil type, hydrology, and plant cover. And, I said, what did the soil and water conservation areas have for wetlands in that forest? And according to soil types, now, unless you go over it all, and that would, of course, cause environmental damage to go over it all, even walking, they came up with 70 to 72%. Now, there's two other factors involved here. So I don't think the broad statement that it's 91% or 92% wetlands is true. I don't want an answer to that. It was just information.
All right. Thank you, Representative Pennis. Any further questions for Mr. Curry? Okay, thank you, Mr. Curry. Now, members, we've had a lot of testimony against the bill, so do we have any testimony for the bill? No, we're going to go ahead with some testimony for the bill now. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Bowen will come back up, but we have a number of people in the audience that would like to speak, but we need to move on with the bill.
Yes.
A number of people that would like to speak for it, but we'll take some statements from Mr. Bowen, and then we'll move on.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would like to respond, and I appreciate the opportunity to respond to some of the comments here this morning. First of all, I think we have a very good bill this year. I think we have a responsible bill. We are reacting to some of the issues. You know, what we heard were the problems about the undue damage to wetlands, that sort of thing. So we tried to narrowly go into that area and to deal with it. And I think we have dealt with it, and we've dealt with it in an effective way and a responsible way. So I think we do have good legislation here. I went in December and asked opponents of this legislation to sit down with me and to start discussing some of these issues. And I was told, no, we won't talk about it with you. So now they're willing to sit down and talk. Well, that's very nice, but I'm sorry. The process is moving along here, and I need to stay with the process. Although that being said, I'm still willing to sit down and chat with them at any time about these issues. But I think I made that overture, in December before this whole thing started, and was told no. So I am actually willing to do that at any time, any place. And in fact, I hope at some point we do that because, as you heard Mr. Curry say, if we actually sit down and look at these issues, and one time we frankly did sit down and look at these issues, we found out that we had a lot in common, and we were trying to accomplish the same things. And the question is, the devil is in the detail, as you all know. So again, we're open to do that. If that's what they'd like to do that, I'm available to do that. This bill provides additional penalties for wetland violations, for egregious wetland violations, and we support that, and our group strongly supports that. It supports more training and education along the lines of what happened with the snowmobilers, and we believe that's prudent. We believe the experience is showing that works, and we believe it will work. In terms of enforcement, we keep hearing about we're not doing anything in enforcement, nothing's happening. But let me remind this committee as a finance committee that in 1991, you were appropriating around $250,000 a year for OHD enforcement. And right now, that figure is up about $1.9 million. So we've had a 5 or 6-fold increase in appropriations for just enforcement in the last 3 or 4 years. So to say that we don't have a commitment to enforcement, it's just not right. It's incorrect. It's wrong. The legislation that some of these groups talk about would literally have taken vehicles from people after two
could take the vehicles away after two relatively minor offenses. And frankly, we thought that was a bit draconian, and still believe it's a bit draconian. We get asked all the time, why don't you police yourself? Take care of your own problems. You know, that's going to help. That's what the snowbillers did. Well, that's what we're trying to do with the ambassadors program. But yet when we try to do that, somehow it's a problem. And we don't understand that. I mean, we need to have a strong club structure to do that. You know, 2 years ago we had less than 40 clubs. We're up to just about 70 clubs today. We believe we can have a dramatic impact on behavior out in on state land and private land as well, if you give us the tools to deal with it. And we believe this legislation does that. The bottom line is that trails are the answer to all this. We saw that with snowmobiles. I reminded the Government Operations Committee the other day that in 1971 there actually was a vote of this legislature, and it came within one vote of killing or banning snowmobiles. I hope we don't have to get to that here, because I think ATVs and off-highway vehicles can present some very excellent tourism opportunities for the state and do it in a responsible way. So again, you know, we believe trails are the answer. You know, there are some problems right now with the forest inventory process. We're working with the DNR responsibly. We're trying to work out those issues so we have more input, so that other groups have more input. And we believe we can come to some agreement with the DNR so that, in fact, that process is done in a more open way, transparent way, so that everybody's happy and everybody knows what's going on. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, members, any questions for Mr. Bone at this time? Okay, there being none, we're going to go to amends. We have quite a few people that want to testify for the bill. We've had quite a few have already testified against the bill. I think the committee members, unless you want to specifically hear from someone, we got to get the direction. I think we need to go with amendments. We're getting short on time. So being that, Representative Hackbar, if you want to move the A050501 amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, to start off with, to get the bill in the shape I'd like to delete Section 2 from the bill.
All right. Representative Hackbar moves to delete Section 2 of the bill. Any questions on the amendment? Section 2 begins on page 2, line 23. Questions on the amendment? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, could you just explain what that does, Representative Hackbar, just briefly?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, this is some language that we had a damage account set aside in 2003. And there's still some money in that damage account. There hasn't been any request for the money for quite some time. We'd like to move that into the account so we can make use of that account in the grant and aid program. Much like we had a snowmobile stud sticker issue yesterday, if you remember that. Same kind of video.
Mr. Reinhold, do you have a comment on that? You want to shed some light on that?
Mr. Chairman, I guess Representative Hackbarth, is your intention to delete just the changes that are made in this bill, or it sounded like you were explaining a deletion of the current statute?
No, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to delete that section out of the bill, not delete it from section of law.
All right, so we're only deleting it from House File 1547 as presented. Okay, other questions on the amendment? Okay, there being none, in favor of the amendment deleting Section 2 of House File 1547, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, Representative Hackbarth, to the 0501 amendment.
Mr. Chairman, this is addresses the issue with the North Shore Trailer. There's been some comments about not having bridges over some streams and things like this. We're not going to allow that anyway, but this is some comfort language that Representative McNamara and I think Representative Hoppe would like to see in the bill, so we brought this comfort language forward to make sure that this is not going to happen, that we are going to have bridges over the streams.
Questions on the amendment? I'd like to make a comment that I completely support this amendment. In fact, you know, this set trail is in the district that I represent, and we certainly... do not want to do anything that will harm those the trout streams or tributaries up there along the North Shore. Very sensitive, and we're sensitive to that. Okay, any further questions on the amendment, on the 0501 amendment? Motion reoccurs for adoption. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is carried. All right, Representative Wagenius, we have the H1547A17 amendment pertaining to the snorkels.
That's right, and I think members are understand the issue, but I want to say that when this was drafted, before the changes in the bill, so the page and lines are wrong. It's page 8, line 11.
Okay, so an oral amendment to change on line 3 to page 8, line 11. Is that correct, Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
Okay, and Representative Erdahl, a question on the A17 amendment or on the amendment to the amendment? Which is the question?
On the A17.
Very good. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, I just want to be sure now that this is the ATV equipped with a snorkel and not the driver. And the driver can still wear a snorkel.
Representative Wagenius. Maybe it should say and or both. Okay.
I'm afraid to answer that question.
You don't have to.
Okay.
All right. Any further questions, Representative Hackbarth?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, this only applies to the ATVs and not off-road trucks or motorcycles or anything else, only ATVs?
Well, I hope that...
Is that the intent?
Trucks aren't... Yes, it is the intent, but I hope trucks aren't...
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to just state that I do support the amendment.
Okay, and also, members, I support this amendment as well.
If it's only for ATV.
Yeah, that is correct. A good amendment. Okay, so any further questions on the amendment? The amendment as amended. Okay, all in favor of the amendment as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Motion is carried. Okay, next amendment also is Representative Wagenius, the A15 amendment. You want to do that one or the 1-6?
Well, let's just do the 5. In this case, there isn't a line in section, a line and page. Okay,
Representative Wagenius, pardon me. I think we're going to take the A16 amendment first, if we could, please. I'm sorry. Representative Wagenius moves the A16 amendment.
All right. And again, we have a page line problem here, but I do have the corrections on... I'd like to move this amendment and change the line 3. It's all of them are page 7, and on line 3, it's line 5. On line 4, it's line 8. And on line 5, it's 14. And this, members, and we've heard the discussion before, is to change the noise standards to meet up with what some of our friends in other states are doing. And I think you all have heard the testimony on this, and you will probably have made up your mind, but I would offer this as an amendment for your consideration.
Hey, Mr. Helen, do you have the changes on line 3, 4, and 5 of the A16 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I do.
All right. And Representative Wagenius, the A16 amendment as amended. Any questions by members or comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I think
I got it.
Mr. Chairman?
Chair, John, again.
Just one moment, Mr.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
Chairman Osmond?
Chair, as I'm looking at the amendment and how it would fit into the bill, I'm wondering, it actually states motorcycles, vehicles, and that doesn't off-highway motorcycles, vehicles. I'm wondering if that's what the author intended.
It
seems to me, I don't quite understand.
Perhaps Mr. Helen can help us with this.
Mr. Chair, it's the amendment, as I understand it, is to include all off-road vehicles. So instead of after motorcycles, we could say delete motorcycles and insert that's vehicles, right, because it's supposed to include all off-highway vehicles, whether they're a motorcycle, an all-terrain vehicle, or an off-highway vehicle.
All right. Ms. Representative Wagenius, then you would like to incorporate that change into your amendment, into the A16 amendment?
I would. Thank you.
All right. And now, Mr. Tuma, did
that
you?
That was my question.
That was, okay, very good. Further questions on the A16 amendment as amended?
I would, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to state that I oppose the amendment. We're working on this issue, and to include all these vehicles, I'm against the amendment, Mr. Chairman. Please vote against the amendment.
All right. Any further questions or comments by the members on the A16 amendment as amended? Okay. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Motion is defeated. And the A15 amendment, Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is a report to the House and Senate committees on a number of items that I expect that DNR will have and should have, but want them to present them to us as a compiled report rather than miscellaneous information. And I think with that, the amendment is fairly self-explanatory. I mean, I think we want to know the consequences of what we're doing and to provide for a mid-course correction if that is necessary. But the only way you can do it is with real information, and this is to provide that real information.
All right. Questions on the A15 amendment to the members or comments? Representative Ackbar.
Mr. Chairman and members, as I read this amendment, it looks like a pretty expensive study, and it's going to cost quite a bit of money. If the money is intended to come out of the ATV account, we're short of funds in that account, and this looks like it's going to cost a lot of money. I don't know how we can afford to do it. I would recommend that we do not adopt the A15 amendment.
Representative Wagenius.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hackbarth, it is not my, this doesn't say study, it says report, and I would hope that the DNR would have this information. And this is a matter of compiling the information that they already should have, not going out and doing a study, but a compiling of the report so it's in readable form for us, and these are the things that we ought to look at. So it's not asking for a new study. And I hope with computers and that we have now and our, all of this should be on computer and it should be able to be compiled relatively easily.
Representative Ackbar.
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, if that's the case, as Chair of the Environment Policy Committee, I'll ask the DNR to provide that information. I don't think we need to put it in statute, so I would recommend not to adopt the A15 amendment, and hopefully the commissioner will get that information to me.
Members on line 22 of the amendment, it says line 7, the economic impact on tourism, and I don't know if they have that information or if that would take a study. That in itself may be a study. I do not know. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our friends in tourism are often come and talk to us about these things. We keep reams of studies, but sometimes we don't, just bring them all together in one spot and look at them together. And sometimes it's important to do. I think there is an immense amount of data in the agencies that would be helpful for us and that we don't see because of our processes that we've adapted and the way we budget now. And this is just to encourage that pulling together so we can see it as a file.
Okay, Representative Erdahl on the A15 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bowen, would there be undue expense or problems with a report such as this?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Erdahl, well, if you look at just the line 22, a report on economic impact of tourism, we are, frankly, ABAM is in the process right now of putting together such a report, and we'd be working through the University of Minnesota to do it. That's a $35,000 study. Just that right there.
Okay. Further, Representative Johnson.
Well, I'd just be curious, Mr. Chair, from Deputy Commissioner Holston, whether you got the monies to or the ability to handle this within your department. It doesn't seem like it would be that huge effort.
Deputy Commissioner Holston.
Respond briefly to that, please.
Welcome to the committee, Deputy Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Mark Holston, Deputy Commissioner of the Natural Resources. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. We just got a copy of the memo. We're just processing through it right now. Representative Sheldon, your question was exactly... I'm sorry.
Could you handle this within your department?
I'm sorry. The economic analysis part? Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, we would be contracting out the economic analysis. We would not be doing that in-house.
Representative Wagenius?
Well, actually, I am perfectly willing to delete that section. That is something probably I thought the advocates might want, but if they are doing it already, it's not necessary to do. It is the other information that DNR should have in hand, should have in their computers, that is the information I'd like to see compiled from DNR. So I'd be perfectly willing to take that out.
Are you referring, Representative Aguinas, to specifically to what section you'd be willing to, is that section 7?
Yes.
Line 22 that you'd be willing, would you like to incorporate that into your amendment?
Yes, I would.
Okay,
so
Representative Aguinas incorporates the deletion of line 22 and line 23 through the semicolon. Well, that would be the end. The entire amount of that on the A15 amendment. Okay, further questions for Deputy Commissioner? Thank you very much. Representative Hackbarth.
Well, again, Mr. Chairman, I would state again that this is information that we can get from the DNR, and we don't need to put this in statute.
Okay. Any further questions or comments by the members? Okay, the motion reoccurs on the A15 amendment. Representative Aguinas, as amended. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Motion does not prevail. Okay, Representative Hackbarth, did you have another amendment you wanted to offer?
Well, we did, Mr. Chairman, but it's not arrived, so I'll have to do it at a later time.
Okay. All right, so any further comments on the bill? Mr. Representative Hackbarth, to the bill, any further additional comments?
Yes, we have one more issue. I think it was Representative Wagenius' amendment that you had earlier. We were talking about that snorkel language being specific to ATVs, and we want to make sure that it's not affecting other off-road vehicles. And I think the way we did it affected all the other off-road vehicles too, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if we have a fix yet or not.
All right. Representative Wagenius, did you have a question? Pertaining to this point, or
no? But we could ask counsel to help us out with that if that's necessary. But while I do have the floor, I would ask if there was just one last person, Sean Worley, who was wanting to testify on this bill, and we have a moment or two.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we've got a number of folks that want to speak for the bill too.
And we also, and so we don't have,
we haven't had
time to accommodate them. It was a substantial number against and a couple for. So I think we'll go ahead and try and either vote on the bill or get the language that Representative Hackbarth is referring to. Is there an amendment in the works, Representative Hackbarth?
I'm not sure if Mr. Helland has it yet or not.
Want to take that from? Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Mr. Helland.
If the amendment, you're talking about the amendment that was put on page 8, line 11,
the snorkel amendment?
Yes, the snorkel amendment.
Right, that was the A17 amendment.
If it's only supposed to apply to all terrain vehicles, then I think we need to remove it on line 11 and put a new clause B in that section so that we make it apply only to all-terrain vehicles, that they cannot be ridden on
state or grant and aid trails with a snorkel device. And I'll have to write up the language, but I don't have it off the tip of my tongue here.
Okay, Mr. Helen, when you say state trails, grant and aid trails or state trails, what about land? I guess I would ask Mr. Bone or the DNR to testify on how that fits in on just acquire lands that are not trails or not grant and aid trails. That would be my question. I need some clarification on that.
Mr. Chairman, if we could just say not allowed on public lands.
Yeah. Okay, I'm Representative Osmond. You had a question or comment?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hackbarth. I'm going to oppose any change at this point in that I think that this is an issue that we can maybe work out before this we see this bill again.
Okay.
Because I really want to see snorkeling in public waters eliminated. I don't care what they're riding in.
Right.
But but there may be certain circumstances where it's very appropriate, and that's where you have waters that are set up for that type of situation. And so we can deal with that with exceptions, I believe. And so I'd like to kind of work on some language on that overall area if I could. So status quo with the bill right now is fine from my viewpoint, and with the understanding that we will work on this and make it do what we need it to do.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Osmond, my understanding when we put the amendment on that it was going to be only for ATVs. Can we remove the amendment for now and come back with some legislation that everybody can agree to later?
Representative Osmond?
I just don't like to leave this in the bill and then not get it straightened out later.
Whatever makes you feel comfortable, Representative
Osmond. That would make me feel more comfortable, Mr. Chairman, than Representative Osmond.
Okay, so the amendment. Mr. Helen, you have a language.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the amendment A-17.
Okay, we have a motion to reconsider, and all in favor of that motion, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, the A-17 amendment is now under reconsideration. Representative Osmond.
I believe that we'll need to vote on that amendment again and see if it still has votes to pass, and I would be recommending people vote no.
Mr. Chairman, I feel the same way. If we can vote no on the amendment, I promise that I will work with Representative Osmond and Representative Wagenius if we can come up with some compromise language to make it work right.
Okay, Representative Wagenius.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we should be doing this in committee. I have been promised many times that folks would work with me after committee and we'd go on, and it just doesn't happen. So I have to express a bit of skepticism here. I wish I didn't have to, but I do.
Okay. Representative Wagenius, I never promised anything like that, and I promise you right now that I will work with you folks to get this straightened out.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, the Alternate Vehicle Association of Minnesota supports your amendment if it relates to ATVs. But I think Representative Osmond is correct. For example, there are facilities in Gilbert where perhaps someone would want to use a snorkel and do it appropriately there. I don't know who would want to do it, but some people don't like to do it. But they are certainly not appropriate on public lands.
Any other further comment on the amendment, on the A-17 amendment? Okay. All in favor, and let's clarify, I guess we know how we're voting on this. I mean, what the way to vote on this. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. Motion does not prevail. Okay. Now to the bill as amended. House File 1547, Representative Hackbarth. Anything further?
Mr. Chairman, members, I think we're going to hold the bill over for possible inclusion, and I'll be bringing forward another amendment when we talk about maybe putting it into the big bill.
All right. Anything else from the members? There being nothing else, the motion reoccurs to possibly include House File 1547 in the Omnibus Finance Bill of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
No. Opposed? No. Motion carries. And members, we are adjourned.